So a word of prayer before we open the Word of God together. Father, thank you for today and the opportunity to be in your house. Lord, thank you for your Word, your truth, your Word given to us. And as we look simplistically at a psalm this morning that we know, and those other scriptures as well, may your truth encourage us and challenge us and equip us. So Lord, guide us by your Holy Spirit into your truth. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Take your Bibles and go to Psalm 100, if you will, please. Psalm 100. If your Bible has headings over different portions of Scripture, it may, as mine does, it says, a psalm for thanksgiving. The Bible has a lot to say about thanksgiving. And the term thanksgiving or thanks or thank, or thankfulness, thanksgivings, depending on your translation, but around 140 times in the Scriptures, those related words are used. Thanksgiving is one of the most needed things in our church today. We have a lot of requests, we have a lot of pleas, but we don't have a lot of time where we just stop and thank and praise God. And a lot of times, even when we do thank God, it's just kind of by rote. You know, how many times in your prayers is it pretty much the same thing? God, thank you for this. And it's the same thing every time. I've been challenged by this again lately because our daughter is taking an active role in praying more often, like at mealtime and at night when we go to bed with her, we'll let her pray sometimes. And a lot of times when we're at the dinner table, that prayer sounds very familiar because it sounds like something I've prayed and she's heard again and again and again. You know, but then she goes on and she expands far more than Dad does. And she thanks God and asks God for a classmate that's sick and for this teacher that's this and this person that's this. And so she challenges me because she's thinking and she's current and she's here and now. How many times are our prayers, could the rest of your family say the prayer you normally pray at mealtime? Because you just do it by rote. It's the same thing again and again. God, thank you for, are you really thanking God? Or are you just sort of going through the motions? You know, I think a lot of times we get stuck in that. And we just sort of go through the motions. And we do it because that's what we're supposed to do. But we're not really mindful of thanking God. Psalm 100. Shout joyfully to the Lord all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting and his faithfulness to all generations. Again, we're going to look simplistically at this psalm this morning, but I'm going to share a lot of scripture with you as well. But I want us to think about seven S's from this passage. Number one is the sound. The sound in verse 1. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Now, that causes us to think about joyful praise. And Psalm 9, verse 11 says, sing praises to the Lord who dwells in Zion. Declare among the peoples his deeds. Here the psalmist says, shout joyfully to the Lord. Psalm 9 says, sing praises to the Lord. Declare among the peoples his deeds. We are to share the goodness of the Lord with those around us. It ought to be part of our natural conversation, part of our lives and everyday life. We usually don't do a very good job of that. We're pretty good about complaining about things and telling people how we're hurting or how disappointed or discouraged we are about this and this and this. How many of us start a conversation with, I just want to tell you what I'm praising God for today. I just want to tell you what God has done, how God has shown himself. And you know, that's what we're to do. Shout joyfully to the Lord. And we are to be a joyful people. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Psalm 150, verse 6. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Every one of us should be praising the Lord. We need to be a joyful people that praise the Lord. That's who we're supposed to be. That's how we're supposed to be characterized. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Now we see number two, the service. First part of verse 2, he says, serve the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. Now that should be a natural outflow of our lives if we belong to God. If by faith you've received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, that should be a natural outflow. Psalm 40, verses 2 and 3, David writes this. He brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay. And he set my feet upon a rock, making my footsteps firm. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord. You know, if we're a child of God, that's true of us, just like David. He's brought us up out of the pit of sin. He's put our feet on solid rock. He put a new song in our mouth, a song of praise to our God. But I wonder if the rest of that verse applies. Many will see and fear and trust in the Lord because of what they see in our lives. Do you remember what it was like when you first came to Christ? Now, maybe you don't remember the day. I can't tell you the day. I was 6 years old. But I remember even growing up in church, after I came to Christ at 6 years old, I remember that changed my life. I remember getting in trouble in school for weeks afterwards because in the middle of the teacher talking, I was sharing the gospel with the person sitting next to me. You know, I got sent to the principal's office one time because I was sharing Christ in, you know, in the classroom. And, you know, David, in the midst of his sin, as he's convicted of that sin, as he's repenting, as he's confessing, he says, restore to me the joy of my salvation. I wonder how many of us, that should be a prayer of our hearts. Not because of sin necessarily, but because of complacency. Because we've gotten used to the fact that we belong to God. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. You know, and that's what David writes about. You know, he lifted me up out of the pit. But there's also joy in the fact that I know my Savior. In Matthew 1:21, she will bear a son. You shall call his name Jesus. For he will what? Save his people from their sins. He will save his people from their sins. When we come to Christ, Jesus Christ saves us from all our sin. And I should have joy in the fact that I have a relationship with God, my Savior, through Jesus Christ, God, my Father. You know, serve the Lord with gladness. Because I'm a child of God, it should be a natural outflow. It should be, I should be coming through the doors of church, not with the attitude of, I wonder what I'm going to get today. I wonder what I'm going to receive today. I should be coming with the attitude, what am I going to give God today? How am I going to encourage somebody else today because of what he's done in my life? Serve the Lord with gladness. Number three is the singing. The singing. The rest of verse 2. Come before him with joyful singing. Come before him with joyful singing. In Acts 16:25 it says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. Even in prison, Paul and Silas could praise God. I want you to turn quickly to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And I want you to look at verses 18 through 21. Ephesians 5, verses 18 through 21. The Apostle Paul writes, and do not be drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. And be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Here Paul talks about being filled with the Spirit, being controlled by the Spirit. And one of the first consequences is a heart that sings. speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. We need to be coming before the Lord with our songs of praise. Come before Him with joyful singing. And we need to be coming because of who He is, just coming to praise Him in song. If you come in during the week, on any given week, into the offices here, you're going to hear singing. I pretty much guarantee it. You're either going to hear Geneva singing or you're going to hear me singing. It's not always best. It's not always pleasing to the ear, but you're going to hear singing. Notice I didn't say which one of us wasn't pleasing. But you're going to, every day, all day. That's just, that ought to be an outflow of our lives, is praising God in song. Because of being filled with the Spirit, it's a consequence that I'm going to praise Him with song. I also ought to be singing praise to Him because He's set me free. Turn to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. And look at verses 1 through 5. Here's a song of pardon that the Israelites sang. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak kindly to Jerusalem and call out to her that her warfare has ended, that her iniquity has been removed, that she has received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice is calling, clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness, make smooth in the desert a highway for our God. Let every valley be lifted up and every mountain and hill be made low. And let the rough ground become a plain and the rugged terrain a broad valley. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all flesh will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. All right, here, the iniquity has been removed. God has blessed. That's what we've seen in this word from Isaiah. Just like the Israelites, we have been brought up from the depths of sin. We're given a new song. Do we sing? Do we sing praise to God? Do we sing songs of thanksgiving because of who He is, because of all that He's done in our lives? Number four, let's think about the supernatural. The supernatural, in the first part of verse 3, know that the Lord Himself is God. It is He that has made us and not we ourselves. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17 says, for by Him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. Know that the Lord Himself is God. We can thank God for the fact that He is the creator of all, and He is over all. We live in a world today where it just breeds fear. There's a lot of stuff going on. Every day on the news, you're seeing this shooting or this shooting, this drug overdose, this event. We're seeing major mass shootings. We're seeing all these things taking place. And we are often quick to focus on the things, and we lose sight of the fact that God is still in control. God's still in control. Nothing's catching Him off guard. And it's hard to see sometimes and wonder, God, are you really still in control? Because why is this happening? Why? God is in control. He is God, period. Know that the Lord Himself is God. It is He that has made us and not we ourselves. In Genesis, it talks about when He formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. He has created us. Now, shortly after that, because of sin, there became a problem. So when I come to Christ, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. In a sense, he recreates us, makes us completely new creatures. That supernatural, know that the Lord Himself is God. It is He that has made us and not we ourselves. God is doing good things today. And God is still in control. Man, we ought to thank God. Number five, let's think about the sheep. The sheep, the rest of verse 3. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. You know, this is personal. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Turn with me to the Gospel of John. John chapter 1. I want to just look at two verses. Verses you know. John chapter 1, verse 12. John chapter 1, verse 12. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in His name. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in His name. And then that verse that's known around the world in love, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. We are His people. Praise the Lord that the moment I receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of my life, I belong to Him. We are His people. What an awesome privilege to be part of God's family, to belong to Him, and the sheep of His pasture. Isaiah 53, verse 5 says that He was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities, and the chastening for our well-being fell upon Him, as by His scourging we are healed. Talk about a protective shepherd. We are the sheep. We are the sheep of His pasture. He was pierced through for us. He was beaten and destroyed physically for us. He took our place. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. I should be thankful that I am His. Are you thankful that you belong to God? Are you thankful that you're His? Number six, we see the showing. The showing in verse 4. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, always giving thanks for all things, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Wherever you go, whatever you are doing, we are to praise God. We are to give thanksgiving to Him. We are to honor Him. We are to glorify Him. Many of you know who John Sears is. When I was youth pastor here, John was the pastor at Charity Baptist Church. He's now pastoring one of the churches in the area. Somebody tell me which church. All right, thanks for your help. he is pastoring one of the smaller churches in that direction, but I haven't been able to connect with John since I've been back. But I remember when we were here before, and we bought a house on Constantine Street and had to do a lot of different work, and I hired John. John is a very good carpenter, and I hired John to help me do the work. And we were working in the kitchen one day, and I remember things were not going well. And I did not have a very good attitude. And along in the midst of the thing, John went to hammer something, and he missed the nail, and he shattered his thumbnail. And just blood everywhere. And the first thing out of John's mouth was, praise the Lord. What? You know, I wasn't praising God with the things that were happening with me right then, right, you know, that day. And I looked at John and I said, John, I said, how in the world can you say, because when I hit my thumb with a hammer, the first thing I think of is not praise the Lord. And he just says, you know, God gave me the abilities I have. God gave me the fingers and thumb I have. He says, you know, this is God's. He's in control. And that was John every day. As you work, and that's how John lived his life. Man, he was such a challenge to me. Because that's what this psalmist is talking about. That's how we're to live our lives. That's how we're to honor Him, is the showing. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. John 4:24 says, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Study the word of God so that we learn who God is, so that we can worship him the right way, so that we can give thanks to him and bless his name in the right way because of who he is. And the last one, number 7, is the sameness. The sameness. Verse 5. It says, for the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations. Three things, and there's far more than that, but in this passage here, three things that remain the same with the Lord. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. That's always the same. He's always good. In Romans 8:28, it's a verse we like to go to, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good. To those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. It's because the Lord is good that he can cause all those good things to come about. That doesn't change. The Lord is good. The next thing says, his loving kindness is everlasting. Maybe your translation uses the word mercy. You know, his mercy is everlasting. His mercy never fails. His loving kindness is everlasting. Psalm 103, verse 17 says, but the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children. God's loving kindness is from everlasting to everlasting. How awesome is that? My loving kindness doesn't last for long periods of time, and neither does yours. You know, it ebbs and flows, depending on our circumstances, depending on things. God's loving kindness is from everlasting to everlasting. His mercy is everlasting. It doesn't change. And the last one, his faithfulness to all generations. Maybe your translation uses the word truth. John 8, verse 32 says, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. John 14:6, that verse we know, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. We are to take God's truth that never changes to all generations. We are to apply his faithfulness to our lives and live faithfully before those around us, before our children, before our grandchildren. We're to live a life of thankfulness. How often do we truly thank the Lord? Being thankful changes our outlook. Being thankful changes our attitude. A thankful person is a happy person. And I can tell you, nothing hurts God's work and his church more than a complaining Christian. And it is far easier to find complaining Christians in our churches than it is to find those giving thanks. Are we really thankful people? Do we really grasp how blessed we are by God? Do we really get the fact that God is so good and God has done so much for us? This week we're going to focus on Thanksgiving. You're going to get together, maybe around the table, you'll each thank God for something, but don't let it stop on Thursday. You know, we are to develop that attitude of thanksgiving, develop that lifestyle of thanking God, because God doesn't change. God's the same. His blessings are the same. He's with us every step of the way. That salvation should be fresh and new every day. We have a reason to thank God all day, every day. Let's try to do a better job than we're doing. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth of your word. And Lord, in reality, a lot of times we're not very thankful people. We don't live that out in our lives. And we complain and we focus on the negative. But Lord, help us to praise you, to thank you, to honor you because of who you are and the fact that you don't change. You're good, and you're always good. Help us even this week to live out that life of thankfulness to those around us. To be an example of thanksgiving and thanks living before our children and our grandchildren. Before those we come in contact with. Lord, we ask these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ.